Dring, 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 dring. Pick up.
What?
Pick up the phone.
Hello.
Allô? Vanny, c'est Céline.
Ah.
Comment ça va?
Ça va bien. Et toi?
Il m'est arrivé quelque chose d'incroyable.
I've been working on my English recently. Will you want to talk in English just for laughs?
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea. I don't think I'm going to be able to make it for lunch today. I'm sorry. I met a guy on the train and I got off with him in Vienna. We're still there.
Are you crazy?
Probably.
He's Austrian? He's from there?
No. He's passing through here too. He's American. He's going back home tomorrow morning.
Why'd you get off the train with him?
Well, he convinced me. I mean, actually, I was ready to get off the train with him after talking to him a short while. He was so sweet, I couldn't help it. We were in the lounge car, and he began to talk about him as a little boy seeing his great-grandmother's ghost. I think that's when I fell for him. Just the idea of this little boy with all those beautiful dreams.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damon.
And this is the Al Jazeera Podcast.
Oh, we're back to Al Jazeera?
Yeah.
That one's on the internet, right?
Did I listen to that? Yeah, I've listened to that episode already.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Well, you see, for me, when I listen to our podcast, you know, I listen to one podcast over the length of about 2 or 3 days.
I'm already confused, and we started like 13 seconds ago.
But yes, I did listen to Al Jazeera podcast. Yes, I did.
I did. That's what we did. That's what Douglas did.
Why
am I talking like this? My brain. I think it's all the Star Trek. The Star Trek has just warped my brain. It's too good, guys. Anyways, moving on. This week, Douglas has asked us. Actually, he asked us last week, but we kind of fucked up then. Douglas has asked us to talk about.
Cunt!
And there is Damien fucking up everything on the podcast.
That's not what we're talking about.
Are you okay, Damien?
I'm here to do a con podcast.
You're here to do a con podcast.
That's what I'm here to do.
Will you Benedict Cumberbatch this podcast?
I'll try to.
You'll try to. But regardless, we're not talking about Khan. We're not talking about Benedict Cumberbatch, which means this is a lesser podcast than what it could have been.
Boo.
Instead, we're going to talk about Suzanne Bier's 2006 film, After the Wedding.
Yoko, welcome. I heter Jörgen. Alltså, jag behöver inte se mer. Oerhört fint. Jag behöver fortfarande lite tid att tänka igenom. Men följ med måndag. Men du har ingenting annat, va? Inte ens jag känner hälften av de som kommer.
So Douglas, because you don't want to talk about Khan, tell us what After the Wedding is about.
I'm sorry, he doesn't what?
After the Wedding, guys, this is a great movie. After the Wedding is a movie starring Mads Mikkelsen and a bunch of other foreigners. Who don't deserve to be named.
Dirty foreigners.
About a man who is kind of a do-gooder who lives in India and is a major part of like an outreach program almost. And has to... Well, they're running out of money because, you know, you don't make money that way. So... After a while, your money runs out. So they need to get money from rich people. And so they go back to the real world, which in this case is Denmark. And he goes, or he has to go there to actually meet the person who, or the potential donor. and from there, craziness ensues, because this man who is trying to kind of give him money, apparently he wants to see him face to face. He can't just, you know, transfer from accounts and say we're good to go over the phone. So he goes over there, and this guy seems, you know, he's a little odd, because at sometimes he's kind of a warm person, and at sometimes he's kind of this, you know, regular business standoffish person. And at the end of his first meeting, he's like, oh, that's right, I have a wedding this weekend, my daughter's getting married, you should come. And, you know, it seems kind of weird, but you guess, well, Mads Mikkelsen needs to get the money, so he has to do what he has to do. He goes to the wedding, where he meets a lady that he, you know, recognizes. Some sort of old flame, perhaps. And you realize that, wait, this woman is actually married to the donor, which is a little bit odd, but, you know, coincidences happen. Fair enough. Then, during the wedding, the daughter gives a wonderful speech. I think it's just inspired. It's heart-wrenching. Everybody is crying at the end of it, where she reveals to, I'm sure, many people who know, and some people apparently who don't know, that her dad is really not her biological father, and you know how that kind of brought them closer together. And through this process, Mads Mikkelsen's face grows more and more confused and concerned.
Very un-Hannibal-like.
Very un-Hannibal-like, until he realizes, is this lady my daughter? Whoa. This chick's my daughter, isn't she? And from there, the movie just gets better and better. And that's really the setup for this film. This man comes back, lured back by a fairly rich guy who has ulterior motives, and realizes or finds out that he has a family, and now has to deal with that and figure out how to kind of move on with his life. Does he, you know, go back to India and just live with his adopted family, you could call them, or does he try and balance, or does he stay and try and make a new life with these people? And this movie, it's just, it's great. It has all of the, it checks all the boxes that we're used to. I mean, if you have anything with Mads Mikkelsen, you know that acting is on point. So is the direction, so is pretty much everything else. There was one thing about this movie that I actually found very amusing. So there is a song that is rather prominent in this film, and well, I don't want to say extremely prominent, but it's in two specific points, and it's kind of out of the ordinary. It kind of is blaring at you whenever it's there. And the name of that song is "It's Raining Men," and
by
I think it's Donna Summer. Is it Donna Summer? I believe so. And I think that is the perfect song to just encapsulate this whole story of this movie.
Nope.
Why
not? Don't tell people that.
It's just perfect. Douglas, because
no. Douglas, the use of this song is questionable even in this good album.
But I think it's the best joke in the world. Mm-mm. I really do.
I will find that funny.
Douglas, help me out here.
You cannot pitch a movie. You can't pitch a movie to people and go, not so much, it's raining men. Encapsulates this wonderful Danish film.
Hallelujah.
About obligation, money, and family. That's David doesn't even make sense.
All right, I'm going to have to get a little deep into this film. Please, and yeah, I just want to at least lay it out there.
For you guys that are...
I'm going to... Because Andrew asked. And if Andrew asked, Andrew must know. So guys, just up front, I'm going to try and be as vague as possible, but I might reveal a little bit too much about this movie. If you don't want that to happen, skip, let's say, another 10 to 15 minutes.
And by the way, maybe what you could do is you could pause right now. Go to Netflix Instant, because this movie is available on Netflix Instant. Go watch it and come back.
Yes, because this movie is fantastic. I think that this is officially Thump approved before we even get into it. Yes, Thump approved.
Despite it being in the wrong definition.
Yeah, that's true. So, It's Raining Men is in the beginning of the movie when we meet our big fat cat, Rich Duno. And it's in the end of the movie after wedding and fun stuff. So, the thing about this movie is that when Mads comes back, really what has happened is this donor actually knows what's happening. He kind of denies it for a long time, but he knows what's going on. He finally, after a long time, found out who his adopted daughter's father really is. And well, wants
he
knew to know.
That. He just found out where he was.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, sorry. Where he was. And has now decided, I'm going to pull you in, I'm going to bring you back, and I want you to be in my family's life. Not just my daughter's life. I want you to, yes, be a father, or at least some sort of relationship to this girl that you fathered. But also, he finds out, and we find out a little later on in the movie, that he is dying. He's not doing very well, and by the end of the movie, he's gone. He effectively is trying to just... It's almost like, so I'm corporate Douglas right now, and I'm going to speak in corporate Douglas language. When you have a CEO that maybe is getting a little bit old, you start to think about something called succession planning. You start to think of, who could take over in my role as CEO? So this guy actually is a CEO, and clearly he's thinking along those lines. He's like, who could take over and continue pleasing my wife and taking care of my children? Oh, wait! It could be this guy. And that's what this movie kind of is all about. And it's so blatant. In the middle of the movie, when I remember the guy decided to go on a hunting trip with his... No, not a hunting, a fishing trip with his two children. Mm-hmm. And he left the wife alone in the house. And the wife was like, I want to come with you. And he's like, no, don't worry, you stay here. Kind of in his head, knowing that he had already had a conversation with Mads Mikkelsen to be like, hey, I'm going out of town. My wife's going to be alone. Kind of like a very, very much a Ving Rhames and John Travolta sort of conversation. Where he's like, why don't you just go over my house and take care of my wife? Yeah, I'll be out of your way. Everything is good. Condoms are in the top drawer. You're good to go, essentially. That's what he's saying. And so this movie to me is very much Raining Men, you know? I love it.
I think I have to say I hate this movie now.
That might be the worst. That might be the worst thing I've ever heard about a movie I like.
But I think that, honestly, I think that that's the best joke ever, just to put that song in there. But other than that, this is a great dramatic movie. This is just a fantastic
There's
movie.
A point where he's taking the two young boys fishing, and he's like, look, if they don't go fishing with their father,
yes,
they're going to turn gay. All right, wait, what? Hey, wait, stop. Pause.
I forgot that line. Where did that was come funny.
That's so they turn homosexual,
was,
you know.
I was just watching this movie. Everything was fine, albeit a little weird and strange. And they're just out of the blue. All right, that's how they turn you. Susan is a man? Like, is Susan a man? No, Susan is definitely a woman.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, the director of this movie and the writers. I like it. All right, I'm going to ignore what Douglas is trying to do. Douglas is actively trying to ruin a movie. We've already decided we like. for the purposes of a joke about a shitty song that they shouldn't have. That's probably the
holy shit
song.
She's the one who directed Things We Lost in the Fire.
Yes, she also directed what's that other it was a 2010
the
movie.
Original Brothers.
No, stop talking nonsense. God, what's the name of that movie? 2010. I remember that it was 2010.
In a Better World.
Yes, In a Better World. She did that too.
Which I still haven't seen.
It's as good as Things We Lost in the Fire. And by that I mean not that good.
Oh, wow.
It's clearly her best movie.
Okay.
Right. So the movie that Douglas is trying to ruin is about money. And family and people's obligations to both money and family. And at the beginning, as Douglas said, Mads Mikkelsen, he plays Jacob. He has to leave an orphanage in India to go and source some money. And the guy who is sourcing it from, you know, has ulterior motives to having him come there. And then he has to make a decision. Does he stay with his newly found daughter, or does he reject the proposal and go back to India, knowing full well that any rejection of such proposal would render the orphanage essentially bankrupt? And so all the children he's trying to save would be, you know, out on the street. The decision that he made was made easier when he realized that he does have some obligation to this newly found daughter and the surrounding family of this newly found daughter. And so the movie, there's nothing really that surprising about the movie. There's nothing really outrageous. It's just moment to moment, you find yourself engaged in everything that's happening. And the movie, while being 2 hours long, doesn't feel like it takes any amount of time. You just start at a point and you end at a point. And the ending of this movie, while there is a tragedy at the end, the end of the movie is so kind of overly sweet, kind of Lifetimes-esque. But it is handled in a way that, you know, Danish films handle sweet. which is as little as possible. you know where this is going. We don't have to spell this out for you. Just relax. I enjoyed that final scene with Jacob and the Indian boy. I liked how the little boy put it. At the end, he's like, you can come visit. don't worry, son.
I have sunshine here.
Yeah. A lot of this movie is just, it's done so well that, if you look at the movie holistically, you might be able to nitpick and point to things and go, you know, whatever. As my friend at Cinema Scenes says, no movies without scene. I'm pretty sure if I spent a lot of time, I'd find mistakes. But there's no point doing that in these movies. Too entertaining. The acting is absolutely superb. From both the lead males in this movie, everyone knows Mads Mikkelsen can act. The guy who plays Jorgen beat him in every facet. There's a point where he finally breaks down towards the end of the movie and you just go, holy shit. This guy, how is this guy not been in movies that I've actually seen? And that saddens me a bit. When you look at his IMDb page, it's like he's best known for shit that is not even translated into English. So things I've never seen or heard of. Thanks IMDb. The wife, Helena, she's pretty good. The daughter, in fact, the only weak point about this movie is probably the daughter's husband. He, like, he feels like everything with him feels paint by numbers. But like you see it coming, but you ignore it because the movie's done so well. And I think this movie is fantastic. Everyone should absolutely see this movie. As Douglas said, thump approved. This movie is a 4. Unlike a certain Iron Man movie, this movie is a must watch.
Asshole.
But very much like a Star Trek movie.
Yes, much like our movie is so awesome. It's so awesome. At the end of the movie, I turned to Levi and I turned to my sister. I'm like, "Did this just happen? This movie is awesome." And I looked at her and like, "Yes, this movie is awesome." And I thought about staying there and watch it again. And my sister's like, "You mother waiting on us to go." I'm like, "God damn it." I want to watch a movie again, but there's no chance of that happening. I have Great Gatsby to watch before Wednesday. And I don't know when I'm going to get time to watch Star Trek again, although I really want to. Andrew Robinson, did you watch this movie?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I have to say that I very much agree with you guys. This movie is brilliant. I mean, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that Rolf, whatever his name is, the guy who plays Jorgen, is better than Mads Mikkelsen. And that might be a little bit of bias because I'm on a bit of a Mads Mikkelsen high right now with the Hannibal TV show going on, because I don't know if you started watching it properly.
Why would I do that?
But that shows...
Is it
that
done?
It's fantastic.
Is there a season finale? Then stop.
No.
Why on earth would I do that? Doesn't even make sense.
Let me give you a clue, Damien. Mm-hmm. Hannibal kills people.
What? That's not in the book.
Alright, that's enough. Oh, jeez. I would do a con there, but I don't think I can do it as well as you, Damien. Come on, cue up for me.
Oh, God, I want to watch that movie so
come on,
much.
Come on.
Andrew, can I take off points because he didn't do the con properly? Like, you'll still end up with 4.
Sure, you can give it a 3.8.
But even if I take off points, you still end up with like a 4.1.
I can get a 5 out of 4 and it gives me 125%. Cool. But anyways, back to this movie.
Alright.
I think, and you guys kind of talked about it a bit, what I really liked about this movie had to do with that obligation. And very much that life decision that that Mads Mikkelsen has to come to when the eventual end comes, where he's like, "Look, this is the deal. I'm willing to give you all of this, but that means that you have to give up your idealized version of what you think your perfect, charitable life is. You have to do it in a different manner. You have to be the CEO as opposed to the guy who's out doing little things."
Not to cut you so early, Andrew, there's a point where Jorgen says to Jacob, he asks him a question, if he has to move to the other side of the world in order to get his help. I thought that was amazing. Right.
Is that what he
needs to do? Yeah.
And I think his answer at that point was the correct one, which is yes, come to India and I'll help you.
Throw away your money and come over here. And I'll be more than happy to help you.
But making me stay in this dirty, cold place of Denmark,
I
don't know what Denmark
is
like.
It's not dirty or cold. Alright, scratch the cold part. It's probably very cold.
Certainly, well, it's dirty according to Mads Mikkelsen, you know, and the Indian child. The Indian child is like, "I thought you hate everyone over there. They're all dirty people." Mm. He's like, "Yes, but I have to be there."
I wish Jamaica was as dirty as Copenhagen.
I mean, that's the real thing for me. And I guess it kind of touches with how I feel about reality and life. I am the kind of person who thinks in that idealized manner where I'm like, "Look, I want everywhere to be a tech startup where everything is all cool and handy because I'm in tech and I'm in coding." But it's not like that, guys. It's really just tired people who are just angry at the world and sad that they're employees and such. And that's because that's how the world is. And the moment that someone tells you that they'll give you $100 billion, it doesn't quite mean that you can do everything you want. There's other things that come with that money. But it's for the greater good that you end up taking it in anyways.
No, and that's a lie you tell yourself.
That's a lie I tell myself.
I'm doing this for the right reasons. All this sweet, sweet money. money.
But funnily enough, I think one of the moments in this movie which we haven't mentioned so far is before the wedding, like the day of the wedding, before Mads Mikkelsen appears, you start to see all of the people getting ready for the event, and Jorgen goes to his daughter, who we don't yet know isn't really his daughter yet, and he asks her, just checking, like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, you don't want to call it off. There's still time. She's like, no, I don't want to call it off. And he's like, and then he goes off to his wife to say, you know, that girl, don't worry, she'll have many husbands.
Yeah.
And then later in the movie, like, literally 2 seconds after they're married, in a very melancholy moment.
Hey, let's not use words you can't take back, alright?
They find the husband cheating on
Lars
the wife.
Lars had nothing to do with this movie. Nothing.
Lars is Danish, isn't he?
Yes.
Right. I'll say he had something to do with this movie. No. It's all the way around. Lars saw this movie and that's what made him do Melancholia.
Fairly you know, certain that like, does never happen. I don't even think he like, watches movies. Based on the evidence, I don't think he watches anybody's movies.
Oh man, and I mean, I kind of I like that movie, that moment in a weird way, and how that played out. Because I'm like, that's just such a dickish thing to do. Because she didn't deserve that. Like, you already put her through the trauma of dealing with this whole "that's my father" deal, and she's gonna try and find out. And then in the middle, you throw in that she's going to have to lose her husband 2 days. I don't even know if it's as much as 2 days after being married to him. Like,
who says he? She has to lose the husband. People forgive.
yeah, Damien, that's right. That's also
for
meaning
better
that
or
you have,
worse,
to, come,
till
you have
death.
To come to the other side of the world. So
better
I can help
or
you,
worse till death. Those are the rules.
Unbreakable. Those are the rules.
Unless you get lawyers and shit involved. They're not so much.
But yeah, I mean, it felt like the right whoever wrote this movie, I think Suzanne wrote it, or at least she was one of the writers. I could be wrong about that. It felt like they were just throwing in an extra torturing element into the film, which I'm like, we could do without that. I felt
that's
like
how
that was
Danish films work.
they're all sad and depressing.
Those are the rules.
Is it because it's cold in Denmark?
Is that racist, Douglas? Is that what you just said, racist?
No. It's only racist if he starts talking about things being rotten in Denmark.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's just like that joke that, oh, why can't I remember? Mm-hmm. Is it George Carlin that made about going all around America and recognizing Wisconsin as not just alcoholics, but professionals, right?
That's a Louis Black joke.
Louis Black, shit, I mixed it up. And he feels that it's just the fact that it's fucking cold all year round there. And I can tell him it's true. But anyways, is there anything else you guys want to bring up with this movie?
There's a couple of things that, after watching this movie, when I realized that she had 2 other movies that I had seen already, that were nowhere near as good as this, I kind of wondered if maybe if I watched those movies now, you know, maybe it was me. And I started to watch Things We Lost in the Fire, and it turns out that it is not me. She got it wrong on those 2 occasions, and she got it really right on this one. And
I'm going to say it's because she got Mads Mikkelsen in this movie. I'm going to put it all on Mads Mikkelsen's shoulders.
Doesn't even make sense. I want to see some more movies that the other lead actor is in. But that is going to be very difficult, as I'm not a native Danish speaker. I know you guys are surprised by this, but my Danish is not so strong. All those lessons wasted. But this movie is fantastic, and I would tell you to go watch more movies from the director, but you probably should skip that. You should watch more Mads Mikkelsen movies, though, because he's pretty. Start with Casino Royale, of course. And then watch this.
and go watch Hannibal, people. I don't want that show to be cancelled.
As soon as the season is done, I'll watch it.
I'll be fine if that show is cancelled.
Because then Netflix or HBO will probably pick it up, and then it's like double potency.
Has NBC given away anything that anyone else has ever picked up? Nope.
Mm-mm. Scrubs.
Oh, and Scrubs got better once it left.
It did.
No.
It left at the end of season 6, nope. and then it came back on season 7. Which was at ABC, and season 8 was the shitty one, the one where they put in all the new characters, and
seven
that was
and
sucked.
8 was bad.
7 was awesome.
7 and 8.
The real finale season, that I call it, was awesome. So the question I asked last week, mm-hmm. or at least 2 weeks ago, was because I had found a really interesting article written by Peter Lubuza where he went and attempted to defend the film Oblivion. I had asked you guys if there were any films out there that you had read a differing opinion on online, and because of which it allowed you to reassess the film at all. And the internet responded. And this is a short question period, but two very interesting responses that came in. One from Andrew Johnson over at Film Geek Radio, who claims that one film that he's come to reassess over the years is James Bond's Quantum of Solace. And I asked him follow-up questions this, hoping that for some reason this meant that he thought it was amazing and realized he was wrong, and thought it apparently went the other way around. And I asked him, in Bond rankings, where does Quantum of Solace rank for you? He says that on his first viewing, it was around 12? Or now it's either 3rd or 4th. Right? Because... And he says, to be fair, it took 2 additional viewings after processing the criticism in question before I was convinced.
There's 2 good Bond movies, and then 23 other Bond movies. And they're all... They're all around the same, except that one where he goes to space, which is clearly 25th.
So you're saying anyone who says a number after three and after, right. You're like, sure.
That doesn't make sense. What? Why would you waste your time? Who ranks these shitty movies? Right? There's one that is absolute garbage that I still love. That is 25th.
You serious? You have some form of likening for
nonsense.
Moonraker?
Look, Moonraker is a flaming piece of garbage.
So are a lot of those Bond movies.
Yes, but that's
and
the
I love every single
that,
one
look,
of them.
Look, hey guys, I didn't say I didn't like the movie. No one heard that. It is clearly the worst one, but it is still a Bond movie and I enjoy it. And then there's the rest of them, and then the 2 good movies. And that is it. Very simple. But I'm glad to hear that he's reassessed Quantum of Solace. I don't know why. It's a James Bond movie. So, sure.
Rand McNeil from The Matinee says that he, on initial viewing, was notoriously resistant to the Coen brothers' Fargo. And only after... Siskel and Ebert's effusion, did it come around to him reconsidering? I know he adores the film. There are a lot of people who responded, but not with specific films, just generally with their own decision as to whether they at all reconsider films based on other people's views. And a lot of them came in the negative, saying that they hold up to their own opinions and that's the end of it. Very Tom-like.
That is how the internet works. That is why people write comments. Right? If people believe that they could be swayed by other people, comments would look how they look. It would be this shit show all the time of people calling other people gay on the internet. Right? When was the last time you saw a comment? That's a really measured point that you made. I'll reconsider what I just said.
I'm very happy that while I agree that you're very right, Damon, I'm happy that over the years I've come to enjoy reading certain websites which allow for comments which are like that, which are like, yeah, that's a good point, and starts discussion as opposed to fuck you, you're gay.
Look, it's gotten to the point where years and years ago I decided, hey Damon, here's what you need to do. Never read a comment again. On any website for anything. It is easy. Your life will be better for it. Because for one, sarcasm doesn't work in comments. Can't write how I talk and put it in a comment because people will hate you immediately. Not that they were going to hate me regardless, but it doesn't help. And then when you see at the start of a comment thread, even if it starts out reasonable, for example, I went onto the XBMC forums recently because there is an option that I couldn't remember. The option is to remove the parent folder icon, that back icon.
Oh, right? But that's pretty simple. It's in
right.
The settings.
But I didn't remember it. So I was fiddling around. I'm like, how
I did that all the time. That's the first thing I do whenever I reinstall.
I went, how do I fix this? And I went onto the XBMC forums, of course. And the second response was, oh, just turn off this in settings, right? And then the person put "da" at the end. I'm like, oh, that's pretty clever. That's pretty clever. The next, remember, so the first line of the thread was, how do I take this out? The second line was, oh, you just do this, "da." And then it was just flame wars. I'm like, guys, this is a thread on the XBMC forum on how to disable an option. And people are calling people gay? What in God's name is happening? Now, alright, Damien, this is your fault. You should have stopped reading at line 2. So, yeah. And that's how when you ask the question, me and Douglas was here shaking our heads like, no one changes my opinion. But this is a goddamn lie. Alright? People in this room affect my opinion. Andrew affects my opinion. Both for positive and for negative. And there's times when you know,
I come in and I'm like, I love Star Trek, and Damon goes, fuck, I can't like it. Yeah. It's over.
There's times when I see someone make, like, even the cinema scene, this guy, he tore Casino Royale to pieces, right? He's like, all of this shit happened, or whatever, one of the James Bond movies. And my mother was like, yeah, I saw all of that, but none of that matters. Like, yeah, that is precisely why he does the videos. He's not saying that he doesn't like the movies. I'm like, oh, that is how rational people think. And that is clearly not what happens on the internet. Yeah. So, my opinion is sweet. Like, I listen to Film Spotting, the only movie podcast that I listen to, and ignore every word that is said, is the Slash Film Cast. Because I don't care about those guys. Those guys don't have no rhyme or reason to what the hell they're saying. Because I just ignore them. So, yeah. What's the new question, Andrew? New question.
Because we're a podcast, which while we generally... yes, Damien, we are a podcast. Whoa. Which, while... What, you're going Leo Laporte on this?
Yes. I'm trying to get us on the Twit network, Andrew. Alright, let's just cross our fingers.
Crossing fingers. for Twit. does that mean we'd have to change the podcast name to Twat?
This week in it would be Twam. This week in movies, Twim.
Anyways, the question I want to ask this week with a lot of
this week at the theater, Twat.
Twat, yeah.
I'm, boom.
Somebody call Leopold.
We've got something to pitch at him. You need a show on your network called Twat, yeah. Just so you can have the you can have the traffic coming in from that search.
Twit at Twat. Twat at Twit. Perfect.
I'm trying to ask a question. we generally always talk about films, but we do love television a lot. We talk about it so much.
That's a goddamn lie. I don't like television.
And with a lot of series seasons coming to their end at this point, and I know this kind of already happened, but I want us to forget the news of cancellations and renewals. I want to ask you guys, which shows do you most want to hear are going to be cancelled and or renewed? Because, I mean, I know there are a bunch of us which, while we know it won't be true, I'm kind of really hoping that they get over it and they just cancel How I Met Your Mother and Big Bang Theory. And I'm also really, really hoping that Hannibal gets renewed.
All right. First of all, Andrew, fuck you. Well,
you love the Big Bang Theory.
I love Douglas the Big Bang Theory. Okay, so that will never die. How I Met Your Mother. All right, it's been a little bit.
It's been 8 years.
It's been a little bit weak lately.
They should have canceled it at season 5.
But I still watch it and I still enjoy it.
That is not. What the question is.
I don't care. If I still watch it and enjoy it, I don't want it to be canceled, sir. So Andrew, please, better examples.
Can I just be spiteful and say Girls, despite not watching it for like 3 seasons?
Fuck you, David.
I think we can all agree that we'd love to see Community canceled. Yes?
Yeah, sure. I would. Yeah.
Either cancelled or perhaps Dan Harmon coming back on or something.
Oh, well, yeah. That's not going to happen. Canceled.
As long as the Mindy project stays, I'm alright. Everything else can get cancelled.
Yeah, that show is
cool. It's fun.
I love that show.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, my, my. Oh, so, oh, my. And that's your engagement ring, huh?
Yes, yes. We got it at a flea market outside of Rome. The guy we bought it from said it was at least 100 years old.
Wow.
So, Dad, stop it. Say something.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Dad, I'm in Rome.
Anyways, tying in with the movie After the Wedding, Douglas wanted us to talk about our top 5 wedding films. And I don't know if you really want to try and put a qualifier on this. Are you going to, Douglas? Is there anything
qualifier?
Other than
movies what have weddings in them?
There's no qualifier that I can see. Any loophole you guys see, take that shit.
So Douglas, for you example, kick it off.
Taking all of them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm to start us off?
Yes.
Okay, my number four pick. Oh, sorry, my number.
Have you been drinking, Douglas? I am the example. I am the one that proves the rule, Douglas. Do not podcast and drink.
Okay.
I don't care about number five.
Let's shake it off. Shake myself off and come again. So my number five pick. For my top five wedding movies, I would probably say no. Usually, I try and put this in some sort of semblance of an order. And I do kind of have it in a bit of an order. I know where my number one is. And what you're going to find, and I think this is going to happen in all of my top five lists, is no matter how great these movies are, the ones that I believe that Andrew and Damien will have on their lists tend to go at the bottom so that I can get them first. So just to put that out there.
All right, so we're being dirtbags about.
Yes, we are. Okay, so my number five pick, I believe, is one of two movies. I'm gonna go with Love Actually, starring lots of people, but Mr. Taken himself, Liam Neeson being one of them.
And
Chewy being yet another. This movie is, I actually didn't watch it until maybe, I think it was a year or two after it came out. I saw it on DVD, and this is where I really developed a true love. And I still don't understand why, because I don't watch her in very many things, but in the things I do watch her in, I just sit down and I say, I kind of, you know, genuflect and say, I adore thee, please bringeth on the goodeth acting. And this lady is Laura Linney. She of course deserves it. I mean, I joke and all, but she's a great actress.
Out of curiosity, Douglas, since you bring up the name, have you ever seen The Savages? Not the last year's movie, Savages, shitty movie. I'm talking about, like, I think it's like 5 years old now.
That's right, they did make another
movie. You're talking about Philip Seymour Hoffman and Laura Linney.
Yes, I did. I did not like that movie. I think both you and I watched it.
Father.
Yes, right. And Dennis Quaid is in it as well. Father, right. And Juno and stuff. No, I didn't really like that movie. Let me tell you why I didn't like that movie. I have this thing, right? So, I'm a big Wings fan. I really am.
I really am.
But Lowell has done nothing to make me like him since. And what I think tipped the scales was when everybody decided to essentially pull down his zip and you know, fillet when he was in Sideways, which was also another bad movie.
Sideways was bad.
And I think ever since Sideways, I have just said, you know what, this guy is horrible and I am never going to love a movie that he's in. So that may have moved me one way or the other. And Andrew appears to be making some sort of argument by sending me a link that shows that he's not in this movie. Is that it? Is that what you're saying, Andrew?
I don't remember any Lowell or any Dennis Quaid.
Okay,
or
yeah. You know what's happening to me right now? I'm mixing up two movies.
Okay, that's what I realized. I wanted to make sure that I'm clear about which movie I'm talking about.
Smart people that I'm mixing it up with. Right. I actually have seen both of them, though. I have seen Savages. But this movie, it was underwhelming. It wasn't bad, but I wasn't really impressed.
I like this movie a lot.
Anyways, you were talking about Laura Linney and Love Actually.
Yes, no, Laura Linney is, I love her to death. Love Actually is a great movie. It has so many stories in there, and it just pulls you, you know, left, right, and center. It's great. And so that is my number five pick. All
right. My number five is After the Wedding. Hey guys.
No, that is not allowed.
Turns out that movie
is
pretty good.
That is not allowed.
Andrew Robinson was the number five.
There's no rule against it.
I didn't see where it said that. I can't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. I have the rule book.
So my number five is a film that we've previously talked about on this podcast. It's from last year. It's a fantastic movie. It involves a child who has a compass and knows how to make a perfectly fine tent, and it's Moonrise Kingdom. The movie, it takes us on this journey and its relationship with these two children, and it eventually ends with Jason Schwartzman marrying them, yes. even if it's not an official wedding.
Douglas was perplexed. For Douglas was like, there's no marriage in that. And I was waiting for it. Of course they got married.
And the greatest, it is just
ceremony
perfect.
Ever. There was lightning. It was fantastic.
I mean, guys, you should really go out and watch Moonrise Kingdom. That movie is so fun.
That's a tremendous pick. My next pick, though, is...
Your next pick is...
Douglas.
It's after your pick. I'm just letting you know, no one is going to beat my pick. I'm just making everybody...
No, nobody can beat my top two picks, which I'm pretty sure nobody has. But my next pick is... Actually, I don't really think you guys are going to steal it from me, but I just want to make sure. My next pick is Rachel Getting Married, starring Anne Hathaway.
No one on earth
will yeah. Yeah, I figured as much.
Because that movie isn't that good.
Mm-hmm. Damien, yeah, you are wrong. Yeah, that movie is amazing. It mm-mm. is
her
starring...
performance is pretty good.
Her performance
that movie
is great.
Is garbage.
Anyway, that movie is great. Mm-hmm. It is all about the wedding. It also has I'm not even sure what her name is, but she's a sister in Tara in the United States of Tara. She's also in a movie that you like.
Yes, The Four Ends.
She's in that?
Yes, that's her.
I never even...
That is her.
Who is her?
The sister. The
Oh, yes, that's yeah. right. Yeah. And also, I was thinking more along the lines of the other sister or something like that with Duplass.
Oh, yeah. She's in that.
Yeah, which I still haven't watched, but I would like to. This movie is just... It's a great film about a broken family trying to... I keep it together for a crazy, hectic weekend.
Okay. My next pick is Independence Day.
Ha ha! I was waiting. I was waiting for movies like that and Armageddon. I was wondering when is Damien going to bring that?
Yep. And my number three pick, Douglas just said, so you can skip me for number three.
By the way, does it count the wedding happened during the credits? It happened in the background of the credits. Does that really count?
I'm again looking at the rule book here. You said wedding. All that matters. I'll change my number.
Right. Andrew, go ahead.
So my number four is possibly one of the most fun movies that is about weddings, but isn't necessarily about weddings, but about the legal side of marriage. And has to do with the very impenetrable Massey prenup.
Yep.
And this is Intolerable Cruelty. I mean, I know that this is some people consider lesser Coen Brothers, but lesser Coen Brothers is still bloody fantastic. And when they kind of get that humor right, as they do in this movie, because everyone is just firing on all cylinders. There's the way that George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones just go at each other. And, I mean, there's a scene later on which involves Billy Bob Thornton and a realization, and it is just so fun.
No, this, Andrew, I would argue with anybody who calls this lesser Coen Brothers. This movie is so good. I mean, I don't rate it along with The Big Lebowski. The Big Lebowski is better. But it's just like The Big Lebowski in the sense that every time you watch it, or at least it was that way for me, there's something new to love and you fall more deeply in love with the movie. I've watched it so many times at this point, I am on board 100% with Intolerable Cruelty.
You hit the nail on the head there, sir. Yep. Nail on the head.
How you say the hammer the fanny?
I'm sorry.
Heinz
I
the Baron
Krauss
von Espy. Okay.
I was trying to remember what name he was. Because I haven't seen this movie in a while.
Yeah,
but
me
I,
neither.
The parts that I remember are just so fantastic.
This is farce at its prime.
When you think about it, Cedric the Entertainer is in this movie.
Wow,
right?
And he doesn't bring it down, and that is...
he still brought it down, just not enough for it to matter.
Go nail his ass.
Douglas, sorry.
So my number four. And my number three.
What is going
right?
on?
And I think I'm now officially in the sweet spot. I have three really great movies that I want to talk about, and I don't think either of you are going to speak about either of them. My number three is The 5-Year Engagement, which is great, starring Jason Segel, mm-hmm. as well as Emily Blunt, who, again, doesn't pull down the movie enough for this to...
Hey, Douglas, let's not do this. let's not do this.
Let's not
forget the wonderful Alison Brie.
Yes, Alison
Brie.
Let's
never forget the wonderful
Yes,
Alison.
As well as I can never remember his name, but Ricky
Chris
Gervais...
Pratt.
Partner in crime. Chris Pratt is his name?
Yep. And he's also in Zero Dark Thirty.
Yep.
When was he in that?
He was one of the soldiers that went on the helicopter. He's the one...
No. I'm talking about the tall, lanky guy with the glasses.
Oh, shit. Sorry. you're talking about Stephen Merchant.
Thank you. Stephen Merchant. Oh. Yes.
But I still want to mention Chris Pratt because he's awesome.
Oh, my goodness. So this movie is just
that would have been awesome if Stephen Merchant was in Zero Dark Thirty. That
would have been
soldier.
I would have pissed myself laughing. I'd be like, that guy is a soldier. Oh my goodness. So this movie is just great. It's a great comedy. It's all about the lead up. A lot of it is about the lead up to the wedding.
Great though,
it is. It's funny.
I love this movie. Great.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. Damian,
and the
Brian
wedding
Posehn
itself
is
very fun.
I know Brian Posehn is in it, but he's in a lot of garbage. I enjoy the movie, but I don't think it was that great. In fact, this is probably the first time I've heard you utter that name since that movie has come out.
What? No, man. I'm pretty sure I spoke about it when I saw it. I love that movie.
Right, but since then,
I mean, you know what happened to me too is I wasn't certain that I would like it, mm-hmm. and so that perhaps has elevated it a bit higher than it should.
Fair enough. Yeah, the movie's cool. My next movie is pretty obvious. Had to happen. Lars von Trier.
Yeah, I was waiting. I thought this would be number one though.
Made a movie once.
And then he made it twice.
Called Melancholy. That there is a wedding that kind of doesn't take place. Not properly. And then one of the best movies of all time happened subsequent to that. And so, yeah. I don't care if you guys, especially Andrew shaking his head, being a little girl on the other side of the camera. Andrew's so wrong, it's not even funny. This movie is...
I like this movie.
Perfect. It's perfect! Okay. Andrew, what is your next movie?
My number three is a film that I saw for the first time when I was like... must have been 5 years old or something. When I was very young. And it's a film which I don't know any movie lover who doesn't like this movie. It has... people with giants, it has trickery, it has magic, it has weddings, and it is The Princess Bride.
That's also on my honorable mentions. Wow, Andrew, me and you clearly are cut from the same cloth.
I can tell you that you've taken two of my honorable mentions as well.
Oh, have I? Wow.
So we were definitely thinking in the same realm. I just kind of went more fun with my list.
Oh, no. All of my fun is about to happen. Trust me.
The movie is just so amazing. I mean, when someone says inconceivable, no one ever thinks to try to understand the sentence that they're saying. They just immediately go inconceivable, and everyone gets it. It's fun. The scene though that I adore has to do with Billy Crystal and Tracy Ullman, who
Not Tracy Ullman.
It's not Tracy Ullman?
No, it's not.
Tracy Ullman is a woman, right?
He's talking about the scene where he's mostly dead, but it's right before, and they're like, Benedict, Benedict, Benedict! That's the scene you're talking about, right? I know exactly yeah. what you're talking about. It's not Tracy Ullman. Tracy Ullman, on top of everything, is a little young for that movie.
Well, I mean, there was tons of makeup and shit, so...
No. I mean, even... That movie was made in, like, the 70s or the early 80s, Andrew.
This was 87.
Yeah, she was just having her show at that point. I think her name is Kane. Diane Kane, is that her name?
Carol Kane?
Carol Kane, perhaps. I can't remember her name, but I will...
Oh, shit. Yeah, Carol Kane. Wow, mm. I feel bad now. But yeah, that scene, regardless, is just amazing. I mean, it's a fun movie. I don't know anyone who would deny this film any credibility.
No. We're at our top two movies. And my top two movies...
Douglas. Yeah. So Douglas, just out of curiosity, because you kind of started out talking about your list, saying that you wanted to be an asshole and list your best movies early because you wanted to steal them from us. Does this mean that those are really your one and two and this is just really your five and four?
No. My number one is definitely my number one. My number two is definitely up there. But what I wanted to do was to get all the popular ones out of the way. So that hopefully, because I could see, when I said Love Actually, I saw the grimace on Damien's face. So I knew that somebody was taking this in those movies. Right? So I just wanted to make sure that I was able to get my movies all in my list. But I do have some adequate... guns left. So, with that said, I'd like to talk about my number two movie. My number two movie actually comes from about the same time. No, a little bit earlier than your movie. And it stars the great... he doesn't have a real name. His name is Columbo. the great Peter Falk and the inimitable Alan Arkin with The In-Laws. And how can you not love a movie with a scene like the Serpentine scene? You guys have seen the original, haven't you?
Yes.
Because both movies are pretty decent. I kind of like the recent one as well, but it definitely is. It pales in comparison
after you
to the
guys,
original movie.
At least, I guess it was just you, Douglas, told me about the Serpentine thing. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm going to have to watch this. I watched it and it's pretty good.
It is hilarious. You get to see Peter Falk, at least for you and me, Andrew, who grew up with him as Columbo and nothing lighthearted. We get to see him in another light. And he is a great comedian. He has perfect timing. His gruff voice just fits the role perfectly. And, I mean, for him to... have Alan Arkin run to try and dodge bullets. Tell him, no, serpentine. And then Alan Arkin runs back and then begins to go zig and zag to try and dodge a bullet. That's just the cream of the crop. It's really dumb, but really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie about a wedding. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Damien.
Number two movie also comes from my boy Lars von Trier, Breaking the Waves. None of you have seen this movie.
I have not seen Breaking the Waves. That's one of the few. Oh, wait, von Trier. Sorry. Yes. No, I haven't seen that one.
None of you have seen this movie.
I'm sorry, Damien. I don't like to depress myself.
Fair enough. It starts out with a wedding, a full wedding, not Melancholia style. It's a simple wedding. They get married. And then it devolves in true Lars von Trier. He's Danish, so of course it is miserable then for most of it. And Sarsgaard is in there, the father. And the movie is tremendous. Of course, I have no one to talk to because neither of you have seen it, but If you like Lars von Trier, you will like this movie. It's a very simple equation, right? Andrew Robinson, what is number two?
My number two film comes from a director who we've talked about numerous times, and Damien has been very against. He is Ang Lee, and his film...
Oh, so this movie can...
This film is The Wedding Banquet, which is his 90s film where...
The Wedding Banquet or The Wedding Bangers? Yes.
The Wedding Banquet.
Crashers? The Wedding...
No, sorry, Douglas. Not what? The Wedding Crashers.
Oh, damn.
Are you looking forward to Wedding Crashers Part 2, The Internship?
I'm not looking forward to it while secretly looking forward to it.
Okay.
I'm hoping. I'm hopeful, but I am realistic.
So, The Wedding Banquet, which is a film... That is kind of... I realize I'm talking like this and I feel bad. The movie is about a wedding. It's literally about a wedding where this gay couple, one of which is a Asian American, is constantly being bothered by his parents back in China to marry a wonderful Asian lady. And one day, in order to get them off his back, he decides... Sure, I'll do a sham wedding with this girl who needs a green card. And, of course, that doesn't turn out too well. It goes in high detail about the wedding traditions of that nation. And it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's funny. It's actually does a lot of things culturally, which I find interesting. I really like this movie. I mean, it was between... I mean, There was a point where I made us review a movie called Eat Food, Man Drink... Eat Man Drink Woman, yes. Which was another Ang Lee movie from the time. And I guess I picked the wrong one.
No,
I picked the wrong
picked
one.
The right one. That movie was so good. So good. The first
Remember when Damon
minutes
was
of cooking
to?
Food and then the next 19 hours of absolute garbage. So, I mean, entertainment. Like Lord of the Rings wrapped in Dark Knight is what that movie was.
All added with Gordon Ramsay.
Right?
So yeah, everybody at The Wedding Banquet, it's awesome. Go watch it.
Now folks, it's time for our number one movies. And I will start us off with Hijinks Galore. I love Groundhog Day, but Groundhog Day is not the movie that I'm talking about today. I only speak of it because Groundhog Day stars somebody in my movie, and that is Andy McDowell.
Was there a wedding in Groundhog Day?
No, there was not. So Andy McDowell is somebody who I actually kind of like in most of the things I've seen her in, but she hasn't been in much lately, or I didn't think so. I recently saw something, and I was like, ooh, she's actually around, but she's not... what she once was in the, I guess you'd say, the late 80s, early 90s. But when she was great. And when she was in a movie starring the also once rather famous, no more a buzz, if anything, by the name of Hugh Grant. And the movie I'm talking about even has the word wedding in the title. It's called Four Weddings and a Funeral. And this movie is... Oh, I see Damien is shaking his head. But this movie is so great. It's just... it's the great blend of comedy and romance. And I also have to say I've got the Hugh Grant bias in there as well, because for some reason he can do very little wrong in my eyes. I really do like him, and this is just great. I love that movie.
What's the name of that movie with him and Sandra Bullock?
I like that one too. 28 Days Notice or Two Weeks Notice. Did you like that one?
That's okay.
Yeah, I like that one. Again, it's foolishness, but I think
this question is just to test Douglas's Hugh Grant love. how far it goes.
Uh-oh. Right,
so there was one with Drew Barrymore.
No, I do not like music and lyrics. I do not like that movie. How dare you even imply such?
I just wanted to check, you know? I wanted to make sure that you didn't lie to yourself. You weren't deluding yourself.
I understand.
But it is sad that you didn't even have to go beyond Drew for me to know exactly what movie you were talking about. Because I have watched it before.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's my pick.
It is.
Since one of my co-hosts, named Douglas, is a jerk and took Love Actually at 5, mind you.
Oh, Love Actually. Actually, that's 2 Hugh Grant movies on my list. Right? That's
because
awesome.
He's a piece of shit. I hate him. Love Actually is number one. Clearly, it is
Love
number
Actually
one.
Is great. I don't know if it's number one, though. It might be number
Clearly
two.
It is number one. It is both the best Christmas and best wedding movie. It is number one. No, the best Christmas movie is not Die Hard, you idiots. It is Love Actually. But I can't
put
actually, that on
the best Christmas movie is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
It is, I'm not having this argument.
I'd like to nominate Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Shane Black wrote that movie.
Okay. So Andrew, that's in there, but not the number one.
All right. My number one movie is a cartoon. No, it is not Lion King, because what is wrong with you, idiot?
Can you feel the love tonight?
If there was a wedding during that song, then sure. But I cannot get that accepted.
A whim away, a whim away, a whim away, a whim away.
All right, that's
in
enough.
The jungle.
No. Cutting it off here. My number one movie is Up. UP Up. Number one wedding
Hakuna
movie.
UP Up, Damien?
Yes, Up. UP Up.
UP!
UP Up. Sure, the wedding that took place in that movie took place maybe over the space of 5 seconds. I was a slide as part of a montage. But since some jerk took my number one movie, hey guys, this is what you're left with. I was going to come up with some shitty spaghetti western that I love because they all have weddings in there for no reason. But I'm better than that.
Weddings and funerals.
Yes, I am better than that. So if I'm going to cheat, I'm going to cheat properly with a movie people actually remember. So Up. My number one movie is Love Actually. Hey guys, Love Actually.
Oh my goodness.
Andrew Robinson.
So first of all, I'd like to congratulate all of us, because mm-hmm. none of us have mentioned any of the Godfather movies, which all start with a wedding scene.
Yeah, I thought of that one, but
yeah, two on the nose.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's definitely why I left it off, but I just wanted to throw it out there to be like, guys, we didn't do this. We didn't forget. We did it on purpose, right? that leads me to my number one film,
Surprise.
Which is...
And Douglas didn't have Wedding Crashers.
Which is... When I think about it, I can't remember if there's actually a wedding scene in this movie. But I'm sorry. It's about a wedding. It's about leading up to the wedding. And it's everything that comes before it. And it is one of the most hilarious movies I've ever seen. I adore it. I mean, it's one of those movies where if I see it on TBS, I'll actually sit down and watch it. And Bright I really hate watching movies with ads. It is The Birdcage.
Oh my god! That movie is not good.
Bridesmaids.
What?
That movie is not good.
I'm sticking with Bridesmaids.
Are you kidding me?
No, Andrew.
Robin
no,
Williams
I love
Nathan
the people
Lane.
In that movie. Gene Hackman is a great actor.
None of us have Nathan Lane is as the Puerto Rican
perfect,
maid.
No.
Why doesn't any of us have The Hangover as part of?
That's actually on my my.
I'm just ignoring what
thing.
Andrew just
yeah,
said because
exactly.
he's so wrong.
He is.
He doesn't even.
Actually,
one.
I'm going to so
like
so we're
bridge.
Going to. I guess we can start on with the
yeah,
with the
honorable
mentions.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, the Hangover is one of mine. One of mine also. Again, it kind of bends the rules a lot though. Is Forrest Gump? Love that movie.
that's pretty good.
Also, again, Rachel McAdams in The Time Traveler's Wife. That movie is pretty good. I like that movie.
It's okay.
I like it. we also
had 5-year engagement, so clearly there's something wrong.
Shut up. You have Intolerable Cruelty, which Andrew took. Also Wedding Crashers, which we kind of spoke about. There are a couple others, but I mean those are
about
the
27 Dresses. No, what's that? What's that? There's a J-Lo movie.
There is. You have to no. Stop don't laughing. You? Don't even remember that There's name. There's a J-Lo don't movie even remember the name
with
of the
Lord Voldemort.
Oh, even worse.
Maybe
Manhattan. I was thinking of wedding. Wedding. Coordinator or whatever. But no. There's a movie called like with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh,
the
right.
Wedding planner.
Wedding.
And I thought that's where you were going.
Is
but
that
you
all she comes
Manhattan?
In shitty
no,
wedding
my goodness.
Movies? Because she's in Monster in Law as well.
Yes.
Is a
yes. And then you want to talk about? I've never watched it, but I imagine that a wedding comes at some point. There is the movie where she gets pregnant right before she finds her guy.
That is how she comes in. Terrible wedding movies. And Parco. Have any of you seen Parco?
No, I have not.
Fuck, I haven't watched that.
Guys, I'm here to tell you that it is better than we think.
Is that does it star Jason Statham?
Damien.
So why
I'm
would
not
I watch
a horrendous Payback remake with
guys,
Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, that is your fault, guys. I went into Parco assuming what we all assume that, and that might be why I've come out the other end not hating this movie. But I really do think it is a strong Jason Statham movie. It is one of those.
It's a strong Jason Statham right. movie. So it are you saying that you are putting it up with the Transporter level? Right. Because that is a strong Jason
Absolutely
Statham movie.
Absolutely not. I'm not putting it.
And if you want to even go better than that, there's Snatch and Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Guys,
that are really strong Jason Statham movies.
Jason Statham is in good movies. Right? Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
Then he's in Transporter movies.
Yeah.
So those don't count.
How about, okay, is it
then
at the bank job
Then there's a myriad
level?
Of garbage. Right, it is at the bank job. All right,
because the bank job, right. it wasn't
horrible.
Wasn't
great. It wasn't dry. It wasn't dross. It is just right, Jason. That is what it is. Just right, Jason Statham. I expected it to be garbage, and it is not. And so, yeah, expected.
Andrew has hung up.
Yeah, Andrew
is not speaking to us any longer.
Andrew Robinson, I think I want to call the commissioner to give myself a 0 for A Good Day to Die Hard.
Did you finally watch that movie?
I get a 1 because my eyeballs laid eyes on it. But I'm thinking I can get to a 0.
Listen, that
to
movie,
not affect
that
my overall
actual name is not A Good Day to Die Hard. It's A Good Day to Be on a Russian.
Hold on, wait. Mm-hmm. I want to figure out what you just said a while ago.
Right. So if
when you go to the commissioner, because we already know that if you don't watch a movie, it's a 0 and it doesn't affect your average.
Right.
But you've watched a movie.
Right,
and you gave it a rating.
No,
I'm
not.
Give me a second. Can I say something?
Yes.
You give it a rating of a 5 or a 1 or a 2 or whatever, and I say bullshit on that.
Right.
And I call up the commish, and the commish says, Andrew, you're right. It is bullshit. Mm-hmm. I'm giving this a 0, and Damien is punished.
Right.
That 0 doesn't affect your average?
No, that 0 would affect your average.
Okay, all right.
That
just,
is why
I
want to talk
just
to the commissioner. That is why he has to get involved. I want him to essentially disregard my viewing of this movie. That's what I want.
So effectively, what you're saying is that watching the movie is punishment enough. You shouldn't have to take any points off.
I don't want any other money. I also don't want to be hit on my overall rating. I want essentially to pretend it didn't happen. But I fear doing that would aggravate the commissioner. I might be punished either way.
You'll probably get like a negative
rating.
Have you
seen that movie?
Yes, I went to the movies to watch it.
Fuck that movie.
It was disgusting.
I think I'd rather watch Oz the Great and Powerful than watch the movie again. That is how bad that movie is.
I think seeing Die Hard before Oz really helps.
Oh my god, that movie's awful. How is a movie with Die Hard in the title that bad?
Well, while we tend to forget it, there is a Die Hard 2.
It is worse than Die Hard 2. Die Hard 2 might be a masterpiece compared to this. This is the worst. This is the worst. This has been another fine episode of Twat. Was it? Twat. Was it Twat?
Yes, it's Twat. Twat.
Right. Brought on the Twit Network. Brought to you by whoever the hell is sponsoring the Twit Network. Everybody at this point. Ford. Or Cashfly, somebody. You can find this podcast on G-Man Reviews and Twit, of course. You can also find us all on Twitter. Douglas is DJ Arlas's name. Andrew is not Andrew Robinson, but I've been too easy. Is that G-Man Reviews? And I'm at Damon White because I'm an adult. You can email us at our respective email addresses. You can find all of that on the website. We'll do this every week for as long as we can until real obligations get in the way, and even then we'll probably still do it. So fear not. Andrew will try to put this up every Tuesday. It looks like he's getting far, far better at that. There was a time where we'd record a podcast and eons would go by. And to jump in my space plane. I'm a time scientist, I don't know if that told you. And fly to
loving
a future
the continuity.
Fly to a future date to get the podcast. And so, you can find us all the time. You don't have to worry, we'll always be this dumb. We will never ever take movies so serious that you have to wonder what the hell we're talking about. At least I won't. I don't know about Andrew. Andrew's probably trying to do that as we speak. And me and Douglas is railroading this.
Every time.
Every time. So thanks for listening. And we'll see you guys next week, I guess. We don't actually see the listeners.
Oh, I can't get enough of you, baby. Can't get enough of you. I would cry when I felt your love.